When you're trying to communicate with your audience, how should your language sound? Clever? Pretty? Polite? Formal? No. And yet when most people start writing content for their business, that's where they end up. The formal, proper, grammatically correct writing they learnt in the schoolroom, or that you'd use to send a report to your boss's boss. And yet when you think about it, when people are reading your copy, they're not carving out time to read it. They're not sitting down in a nice quiet place with no distractions to contemplate your carefully crafted words. They're reading it on their phone while watching Netflix or waiting for the kids to come out of school. And so if you want them to actually understand what you're saying, you need to write in a way that's easy on the ear and the eye and makes it effortlessly easy for your ideal reader or customer to understand what you're trying to say, even when 75% of their attention is somewhere else. Welcome to episode 26 of the Content Download, How to Write Conversational Copy. On the inside, really you're a change maker, a trailblazer, a dream chaser, sometimes a bit of a troublemaker, because it's hard to shine your light when you're stuck inside a box. You're a spiritually curious, creative thinker, who only wants to do meaningful work that's going to have a positive impact on the world. It's time to find your voice and stop hiding your light. Showing up online, creating powerful content, and living out your purpose as a thought leader can feel intimidating, but it doesn't have to be scary, and you don't have to do it alone. I'm on a mission to help you create content with a heartbeat. To find your voice so you can start consciously communicating your soul work and send it out into the world with impact. Because if you can dream it, it is meant for you. In fact, it's already done. I'm Kate Butler Ross, and this is the Content Download. So your copy needs to feel like you're sitting down with your reader or ideal customer having a friendly chat over a cuppa. Why? Because we know that's the kind of writing that connects, compels and converts. We call it conversational copy, essentially, but not quite literally, because it's something written in the way that you would speak it. And this is how all your content and communications with your audience needs to flow. If you want them to read it and understand what you're saying, write it like you would speak it. But writing like you speak isn't actually as easy as it would seem. Obviously, you can't literally do it because there's lots of ums and ahs and roundabout things that happen whenever we're talking normally. But there are ways that you can instantly give that feeling of writing like you speak in a conversational way without really having to think too hard. And what it does is it automatically transforms dodgy, boring, complicated copy into something that's easy breezy. And today I'm going to share with you five of my favorite conversational copy hacks that you can start using immediately in your copy. And you really should if you don't already. Okay, so are you ready? Let's go. Conversational copy hack number one, short words. It's really tempting to use big, more grown-up, formal words when we're writing, and we all do it. But actually, in copy, short words, and I mean like short, you know, fewer syllables and fewer letters, is actually always best. Now, the reason we do this is, you know, everyone does it because for some reason when we're writing, we think if we use slightly bigger words, you know, they tend to be the slightly more intelligent words, which might make us sound more authoritative. But actually, it has a bit of a more negative effect. It makes it much harder for people who are usually skim reading your copy to instantly understand what you're trying to say. And also, when we reach for these slightly more intelligent words, in inverted commas, you know, these bigger words, we sound less like a real person. Because the truth is, in normal conversation, we don't use the big words. We use the simpler, more commonly used words. So one rule is, if you wouldn't use it in normal conversation, if you wouldn't use it in real life, you probably shouldn't be using it in your copy. You know, and the other reason is, you know, which I've just mentioned, is when people skim read, shorter and simpler words with fewer syllables make it much easier for them to quickly process what you're trying to say when they are no doubt, you know, distracted while they're actually reading what you're saying. So I'm going to give you a few examples of what I actually mean by this, which I see come up quite often, really. So instead of, you know, let me assist you, it would be let me help you. Instead of acquire or obtain something for someone, you get it. Your offer isn't going to expire. It's going to end. You're not writing to them regarding X, Y, Z. You're writing to them about it. And, you know, finally, you're not going to finalize something. You're just going to finish. And so there you go. There are endless examples where people reach for the bigger word, but it's usually 99.9% of the time, the smaller, shorter words are always going to be more powerful. So when you're going through an editing copy, look for where you're using a big word when a shorter one would do. Conversational copy hack number two is clear over clever. And this really is one of the most basic rules of writing good copy. The question isn't, can my copy be understood? The question should be, could my copy be misunderstood? And this is where, you know, if anyone who moves in kind of writing circles, the phrase murdering your darlings really comes in, because this is where, you know, your darlings refers to those kind of clever puns or pretty words or turns of phrase or poetic little touch, the things that we put into our writing because they make us feel good and we've enjoyed them and they feel creative, and you know there's something that you're, you know, English teacher would have given you an A star for. You know, they're the things that look pretty or impressive. But what they are actually doing with your copy, and the sole purpose of your copy is to actually move people to action, not for them to think, wow, they're a good writer. What they actually do when we include these things is that they very often mask your message or make your meaning ambiguous and leave your copy open to misinterpretation. And that is the absolute last thing you want to do. You need it to be clear. You need them to quickly understand what you're trying to say. So clear over clever means stripping out the pretty stuff and making your copy, you know, fit for purpose. It literally does what it says on the tin and stops, basically. There's nothing in there that doesn't have to be in there. And, you know, when you strip out that kind of extra stuff that you don't need, your copy will always be more powerful for it. And as a writer, I have so much sympathy here, because the amount of times I have had, you know, I've been working or crafting something and there's been a particular phrase or word or analogy or something that I've wanted to keep in this, you know, piece of writing. And I've sometimes changed the entire piece of writing just to keep this one little phrase in. And at the end, you kind of realize, no, I've got to get rid of it. I've got to be rid. And it always makes your writing far more potent. So, you know, it's the whole idea of pruning a tree to make it stronger. It's exactly the same with your writing. So get rid of the pretty stuff, get rid of the stuff that you feel proud of in many ways, and you will always have much more powerful copy when you focus on clear over clever. Next up is contractions. You should use them. The amount of times I see copy and people are writing, you cannot, I will not, you do not. And the truth is, we don't actually speak like that in real life. We use contractions all the time. So if you would normally use a contraction when you're speaking, you should use it in your copy. Now, there are a few instances where we don't use contractions, and that is usually when we're kind of trying to really emphasize something. So you say, like, you should not, or you do not need to do so and so, you know, then you do. But 9 times out of 10, or 99.9% of the time, I would say, a contraction is what you should be using. So it's really worthwhile going through anything that you've written and, you know, as one of your kind of like checklists on, is my copy conversational enough, is to go through and make sure you replace any, you know, words that aren't using contractions that could be that you're doing it. So things like the do not becomes the don't, the will not becomes the won't, the should not becomes the shouldn't. So really pay attention to that and go through, because it makes a massive difference to, it makes you sound like a real person rather than a very overly formal person, which is not what we want to sound like. So next up is conjunctions. And this is something that people get a massive, get their knickers into a massive twist over. So conjunctions, by conjunctions, I mean those little connector words that we use all the time, and, but, so, for, etc. And you've probably been told by your English teacher many years ago that you should never, ever use them at the beginning of a sentence. Well, in copy, you can, and you should, at least some of the time. And the reason for this is when you start sentences with conjunctions, it says to your reader, oh, real person here, because we start sentences with conjunctions in speech all the time. But the other reason it's really helpful, I just did it there, started a sentence with a conjunction, but the other reason it's really helpful is it breaks up sentences that could otherwise be really long. And it also adds a nice little natural rhythm to your words, which makes it sound a bit more like speech. So it's a really, really handy thing to do. And it's also a really easy way to connect one thought to another without having to figure out some kind of, you know, clever natural segue. One warning I would say, though, is don't do it too much. You know, don't think, oh gosh, I've got to start every single sentence with a conjunction, because it can make you sound a little bit like you've had one too many espressos, but you should definitely use it a lot more than people actually do. I do it quite often. So play around with it. You know, think, is this how, you know, does this feel natural? Does it sound normal? And this leads me naturally on to the very final little tip. And this is, if in doubt, speak it out. If you are not sure if your copy sounds conversational, read it out loud. And any words or sentences you stumble over or that sound weird or a bit jarring to your ear, you know, will need to be deleted, rephrased, or rewritten. If you can't naturally kind of speak it out, if you're stumbling over the natural flow, the likelihood is, for some reason, in some way, it isn't conversational. Either the sentence is too long and it needs to be broken up by a conjunction. You've got, you know, you're not using contractions, you're using words that are far too big or complicated ideas. You know, though, that's a really good test. If you speak it out, if you read it out and it doesn't sound natural, if it doesn't flow well, you know that you need to go back, you know, look at those big words, look at those sentences and give it a tweak or give it a rewrite if it's really bad. And then try it again until it does kind of naturally flow off your tongue. And then you know that you've most likely written something that is conversational and that is going to be really easy for even a very distracted reader to follow along, get your gist, and feel inspired to perhaps take some action. So there you go, 5 little tips and tricks that will instantly make your copy sound more like you speak, aka conversational. So I'll just recap those quickly for you. So 1, use short words over big words always. If you wouldn't say it in normal conversation, don't use it in your copy. 2, clear over clever. It's more important that your meaning is clear than your writing sounds clever. 3, contractions, use them. It's not do not, will not, cannot. It's don't, won't, and can't. 4, conjunctions. So we're talking about words like and, but, for, to. And I know your English teacher would turn in her grave, but you can use them at the beginning of a sentence because in speech we do it all the time. And finally, 5, if in doubt, speak it out. I really hope you enjoyed that episode all about copy. It's something that I have been teaching for quite a long time now. And if you want to learn how to write even better copy and content, that's just one of the things that I teach my members inside Fearless Content, which is my monthly membership community. It basically supports you with everything you need to grow your brand through content online. Doors are opening once more for the first time this year, actually very, very soon at the end of April. If you want to make sure that you don't miss this opportunity to get on the inside and get access to much more in-depth trainings on copy, on content planning, on funnels, on podcasting, whatever it might be that you need to get greater visibility online and grow your business through content, that is what we offer inside this community. So if you want to jump on the waitlist so you don't miss out on it, you can follow the link, which is inside the show notes, and you will be notified the moment that the doors open. Also, before you go, I just want to let you know that there's something very exciting happening inside my free Facebook group, The Content Download. Next week, we are going to be hosting a Your Glossy Brand Content Planned 5-day challenge, in which I am going to be taking you step by step through how to actually plan your content like a glossy magazine. Because the whole idea for me is to make sure that you are creating content that feels creative and fun, but it's also getting you results. And that is what I teach with my Your Glossy Brand Content Plan. It's how I approach my content, just like I would have planned a best-selling magazine. And everyone I've taught this to absolutely loves this concept and helps them get really, really excited about creating content for their business. And so if you want some kind of first-hand guidance on how to exactly do that, make sure that you jump inside the Content Download group. You can also sign up for notifications with the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. I will catch you again next time.